There we go. And so, welcome to the Email Class Radio Show. That's also quite exciting. This is the first time we've had this format where each week when we're in the middle of an email class that we get together on Thursday evenings, afternoons, to have a chance to extend the conversation, to elaborate on what people are seeing, to get deeper into the conversation, maybe than we're able to in our 50 words or fewer in the email class responses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So I will tell you it's a fabulous class already. Wow. the first class was, it was just, I loved it. I loved the process of looking at it. I loved the what it was pointing at. I just, wow. And then to start to read everyone's responses is really very inspiring.
It is. And one of the things that I like about a class like that first one is the variety of responses. We really, it's easy for us to project that everybody sees everything the way we do, even though most of us feel misunderstood for most of our lives. And to have an experience like that where we're all answering the same question and there are truly as many perspectives, as many answers and ways of expressing it as there are people sending in. It's very, to me, it's very helpful. And
I completely agree.
As you say, inspiring.
Yep. It highlights two things. It highlights we're so similar because there's nothing anyone says that I can't relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, as you were saying that each person kind of has their particular way of articulating it, mm-hmm. it also, to me, really helps highlight what in particular I'm working with. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, because you're running your perspective, everybody else's perspective past yours.
Yes, exactly.
You're getting to hear from X number of people, essentially what it feels like is about the way you're seeing things.
Yes, that really is true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got anybody out there, or do you have some guidelines for us, or what do we do here?
I have a ton of people out here, and I want to explain to people how it's going to work. So what I've just when we start the call, everyone is muted, and at a certain point, and now is that point, I'll invite people to what's called raise your hand. And so the way that you, quote, raise your hand in this system, this platform, is that you press *6. So people
don't do it yet.
Well, they actually can, because here's the beautiful thing. They'll press *6, and that will, in the mode that we're using, that will prompt them. It will say, if you wish to be in the queue, press 1.
Oh,
and
good.
So that will indicate to me, I'll see on my screen, who actually is ready to speak.
Good. So we don't have that. Everybody unmutes and we get background noise and people washing dishes and all of that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Oh, this is very good. Be on the air,
that sort of thing.
So if people
would do that process, go ahead and press *6 and then when it prompts you, press 1 and put yourself in the queue and then we can begin to take callers.
All right. And do you want us to, you want to remind them about keeping it short? I can't. You can remind me. endlessly, and I'm unable to control myself, but you could remind everybody else. Maybe somebody has more self-control than I have.
Than you do. If possible, we'd love to hear from as many people as we can. And so, and really keeping it to the email class topic, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, please, don't ask about anything other than the email class. That's for Tuesday night.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, without further ado,
Here
we go.
No. Thanks. Right. Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Laura, and I'm from San Diego.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Sherry. How are you? Hi, Jen.
Really good. What's going on with this class?
Oh my gosh, I'm super excited because this is the first email class that I've actually participated in on time.
Oh, That is something. You are off to a great start.
Exactly. So the piece that I'm wanting to focus my attention on is the stories that come up for me around how my partner handles kind of his own conditioning, especially in regards to kind of some illnesses that he's dealing with.
Uh-huh.
And we've had this thing going on for years now, and I find myself in a lot of suffering around it, more just getting identified with kind of judgments about how I want him to do it and, you know, and how he handles himself around it. And, you know, it of course creates tension between us. And so I've been working with a Zen coach, awareness coach around it as well. And what I've found is that it really, if I can practice bringing my attention to caring for me, then I'm less drawn to worrying about him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the secret to the whole thing, isn't it? And it's across the board for us conditioned humans. If we can get somebody else to be the right way, it saves us from having to be the right way.
Yeah.
Right? So I want him to handle his emotions so that I don't have to be in touch with all of these emotions that I have and then have to handle them.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like putting the kids in timeout.
Yes, but we can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they go into timeout, I feel great.
Yes. Yeah, very
good. So it must be the kids.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent analogy, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, to me, I don't know if this is your experience, but when it's a relationship issue, what makes it so tough, I mean, if it were a neighbor, you could just stop talking to them, and then you just handle your own stuff, and it's fine. But this is a relationship that has some kind of expectation about how you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like you can say, I need you to handle your side of the thing and I'll handle my side of the thing, because there is, in any close relationship, that kind of back and forth that is just part and parcel of relationship.
Yes, and we handle our how we handle it is just so different, and neither of them is right. It's just different.
Exactly so. And which has always been the case, right?
Mm.
But when we get into this kind of intense situation, then the differences become really pronounced, and we actually have to do something about it.
Yes, or else you hate each other. It gets really awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of sustained it for about 3 years, and then I was just a resentful mess.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Because it starts feeling as if you in this case have to do all of the accommodating. I suppose if we were talking to your partner, he feels he would probably nod with the same thing. Yes, he feels like he has to do all the accommodating. And that's how we tend to see ourselves. You know, whatever is going on, conditioning can manage to make us the victim to it.
Absolutely.
So that we don't see that what we're actually a victim to is conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah? Not even my partner's conditioning.
Yeah.
Right? It's not his, the way he's doing it, that's getting to me. It's the way the voices in my head are doing it.
Absolutely, yes. And it's so easy to get bamboozled and it, you know, and feel foggy and unclear, and because what happens is this old tendency of accommodating is a way I've kind of done my whole life. You know, it's like that's having needs and wants, and not asking for things, and so that works for a while because I feel like such a good person, right? And then
yes.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm not taking care of myself, and so there is this lack of not being in center. I have no clarity about what's okay to ask and what's not okay to ask, and sharing my feelings, and all of a sudden I'm confused, and it's just easier to shut up and accommodate, but that just creates
doesn't
a
work.
Lot of...
Yep, just doesn't work. So it's good, isn't it, in this process of waking up and ending suffering, we go along avoiding, in your case, accommodating, shutting up, accommodating, until we get to the point where we can't do that any longer, and then we're forced to confront it, which is really good, because confronting this stuff and getting through it is what we call liberation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, eyes on the prize, huh?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's gonna be, as I keep encouraging people, it's going to be an exciting year.
I feel it. I feel the energy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, this is really fun. We're actually, there's so many people, and the way the format works, we're scrolling. I have to scroll through pages to find back how to mute Laura again, how to find her.
So, all right, well, let's get to number two.
Yeah, number two. I'm doing my best to see how it's ordering itself. Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jen. It's Jane in London.
Hey, Jane. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. I just don't expect you people to be calling in from London. This is remarkable.
Well, it's brilliant. I really love the fact that we're continuing the Thursday nights, because it just is, it's a better evening to call in the middle of the night. So
yeah. You only have to survive Friday, right?
It is a little bit like that. So I really appreciate it. And also, this format is really exciting, isn't it? Just to have know that everyone else is on the call as well. And it's really good.
Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing?
So, I'm already really, just really, really thrilled by the kind of email class and the topic. And seeing as the Anya type she is, what happened when upping your game was announced as a topic, and the conditioned kind of reaction comes in with a sort of, there was almost a sense of kind of tension arising to the occasion, a kind of willingness that conditioning wanted to bring to the idea of kind of stepping up to the plate and training harder and doing more stuff.
Doing more and being better.
Exactly. Catching all that and going, no, this is not what we're doing here. this is a game. And, this human has innate capacities, because she's a human being and she wants to wake up and end suffering, and she has been training, and she can come along and have fun. And what we're talking about is focusing on kind of ease and awareness, because she's done all the stuff she needs to do, and if from that place of ease and being awareness, then she's going to hit that kind of funky flow place that all those really great athletes do, just being there. So really
flipping into the zone.
Exactly. Yeah. So focusing on that aspect of it, and going, well, okay, this is a year where you get to kind of focus just on being in that place. Then that gives all of the elements that are kind of innately there this ability to be with life and be in the game of life. And, and play with it, play with everyone else and have fun.
Yes.
So,
because that Enneatype impulse, or however we want to talk about it, because most of us have the conditioning that in order to be okay, I have to be better than everyone else, which is a really bizarre thing when we stop and think about it. So in order to be okay, I have to be perfect, And what that really means is more perfect than you.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sherry,
which is not.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it better than everyone else, or is it better than she was yesterday or the day before? You know, because it feels like a competition against myself kind of thing. Or is that more? Is that the same thing?
Yes, I think it is. And the thing about it, I mean, to me, when in looking at that, the way it usually plays out is, so I can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody else can make mistakes, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I can't make a mistake. And so it seems like it's a kind of a nice, understanding person way to approach things. But the reality is, I think if we look at it, it's I need to be better than you are. I'm held to a higher standard than you're held to.
Yeah.
Just to be all right. So what we're going for in this, what you're describing is, so we know the, you know, it's a team sport, but we've got the superhero who has to be the best, you know, most valuable player, right? But what we're really doing is actually learning to be a team, right? So we do relax into that. I don't have to do it all myself. It's not up to me. I'm here to play a part, a position, and everybody else is too. And I actually don't need to worry about what anybody else is doing, except when I know I don't want to hog the ball because I need to pass it off when the time is right, and I need to be paying attention enough to make sure that you're there to catch the ball when I toss it.
Yeah. It's that. That faith in life extends to the faith in everyone else who's playing the game, and everyone's ability to be part of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I drop the ball, to see to be, we could say open, humble enough to approach that from well. This, too, is my best spiritual opportunity.
Yeah. So in the way that I would acknowledge that some folks have good game days and other some days when they're really on form and some days when they're not so on form, just making sure that understanding can get applied to this human as well.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Not that, you know, I have great understanding for all of you human beings. I kind of wish I were human, but I'm not. And so, therefore, It's a great kindness to the human, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jane, the other thing about it is I truly think, and we'll see at the end of the year if everybody agrees with me, but the only way the human being is ever going to shine, really shine, is to be let out of that, you have to meet these standards.
Yeah.
Meeting the standards, even exceeding the standards, is still keeping us from shining.
Yeah, because it's the existence, the standards, the standards don't really exist. So if we're playing from that perspective, we're kind of in the wrong game.
Exactly. And ego is having a great game.
Yeah.
But life has, as we know, so much more in mind for us than ego does.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. That's a whole other level that I hadn't really seen at all. So, oh, This is great. This is what we
good
say
game,
to
huh?
the email class.
Yeah, good game so far.
Yeah, starting well. Yeah. Great. Well, I thank you, Sherry, so much. I'll get off the call. I'm aware there's a long queue, so lovely to speak to you. And
great,
I'll be checking in
too.
Again soon.
Good. See you on the field.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Good night. Good night, Jane. Would it be too corny to say thanks for playing?
No.
Oh my gosh.
All these images are corny, but that's never stopped us, and it's not going to stop us now.
I'm just sitting through that conversation, going, "It's going to be a good year. This is going to be a good year." Wow.
Yeah. So all this emphasis on sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, if people are new with us, they're going to catch on pretty quickly to what we're talking about.
Yep. All right, well, I'm just going to keep us moving here.
Good.
Next caller, you're now live on there, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Sherry, this is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I am so excited to be talking to you.
Well, it's great to hear from you. What's happening?
Oh, well, first of all, I have to say thank you to everybody who was involved in planning the year's schedule. I'm just so excited about it.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, I know everybody else is, too, but I'm just like, wow, it's just so cool. So cool. So
yeah.
Thank you. I'm sure you know everybody in the little strategic planning meeting just had all their energy and ideas, and I'm just so grateful. And
I'm always grateful when it actually – that it works.
Oh,
you know,
I mean,
all the dates are right and they don't overlap and we got it in the right month. And yeah, I'm always grateful for all that too.
Yes. And so I'm just thrilled that we're doing this. I'm thrilled to have the radio show and to be on. I read something in the first set of responses that just really helped me get the whole sports metaphor because I wasn't quite there. But
uh-huh.
I'm just so there now. And that was the person who said he or she was going to go to bed earlier and get up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just saw in that training, you know, if I'm training for a sport, I do want to go to bed early because I want to
yep.
get a really good night's sleep and I want to get up early and I want to be ready for the day. And
yep.
it just was very inspiring to me.
Yep. And we want to eat well.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yes. All of the things we want that balanced life that, you know, ego always holds out in front of us like a carrot in front of that poor creature and never lets us have. But if we're really in training for something, then that has to be our first priority, right? I get enough sleep. I
yes.
drink water. I don't eat junk
yes.
food. I eat well. I exercise. I do all of these things so that I can be ready. Well, if I will do that to train for a sport, how much more would I want to do that to train for life?
Yes. And I'm on a team, and I don't want to let my team members down.
Yes, precisely.
What you were just talking about, that it's not always up to me, and I want to be trained and ready. And I have just two more awarenesses about upping your game, and then I'll let somebody else
Hang on to them, okay?
Okay.
Just for one second, because your point is really essential, that the way most of us are trained, conditioned, to approach life is, it's all about me. And if I don't come through, well, I'm the only one who suffers. So it's my choice and it's really up to me. You know, there can be that kind of almost defensive attitude
mm-hmm.
about how I treat myself. But when we get it, that no. I'm letting the whole team down when I don't do my part, then we can't be quite so smug in our egocentricity.
Yeah, so if I stay up late and eat a bunch of junk food, it doesn't really affect anybody, but me is a big lie.
It's a big lie. And anybody
yeah.
who's been around anybody, especially anybody who's counted on anybody who's acting that way, knows what a lie it is.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay,
yes.
Two more points.
So then I had this idea of I'm on the field. I'm playing, you know, with
yep.
life and with my teammates, and I want to expand my field of awareness. I don't know if you've ever played sports, but there's a big thing in training that you have to be aware of what's going on behind you when you're
yes.
in sports. you know, yes. Or you're doing yoga, or I was thinking of playing basketball, but I just realized it's true for yoga too. So I'm wanting to expand my field of awareness as much as possible to include as much that's going on around the field as possible. And that was just really inspiring as well.
Yes. Yes. So it's not that tunnel vision awareness that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate likes us to be in, right? So I'm focusing intently on the conversation in my head, and that's what's called awareness. Right? In fact, I have to drop that if I'm going to have attention and awareness fully available for everything that's going on.
Yes, and connected to expanding my field of awareness is deepening it. So I envision the awareness moving out in a circle, but also moving down in what I envisioned is moving down into silence.
Mm-hmm. So that it's not just you and the familiar faculties that you're bringing to this. In that kind of depth and silence, you're really available for the intelligence that animates to direct you.
Yes, and I've been going through today with that whole, you know, I got up this morning and I read the responses and went into my day, and it's been, I feel it. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm on a team. We're playing life. I mean, it's been fantastic. And then the third point is, for some reason, I thought of when I played girls varsity basketball when I was in high school, and there was an amazing player who was Chinese who was very short, and people who know me, I'm tall. The woman could out-jump me. I mean, majorly out-jump me. And, you know, I always felt kind of less than, I mean, she was a great basketball player, way better than I was. But I also remember once when we won this game, she was, you know, she did her thing. She's coming down the court with the ball, and I was a forward, and I was by the basket. She passes me the ball, and I do a layup, and I, you know, made a point. We did that twice, and it was, we won by 4 points. And it's like,
wow.
You know what? It doesn't matter if somebody's a better player than I am. It's good for them. It's that I'm there, present, playing my role, and
that's
important. There's no space for comparison when you're on a team, because everybody, just like with an orchestra, everybody has their role to play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true, so true. And a brilliant image. It really is. I mean, there's a great player, and you know you're not as good, you're not as skilled. You're not as skilled an athlete, and yet you can be right there ready to make the play when the time comes. And, in fact, you did it beautifully. We couldn't say a better player could have done it better, because you can only, you make the basket. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just thrilled, excited, ready to be on the playing field. And thank you so much for the opportunity to practice in such an engaged way all year long. It's just so exciting. And I will let somebody else get on.
All right. Thank you, Anne.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Good night. Thanks so much for joining us, Anne. I complete goosebumps that story. Wow, that is perfect. So great. So, Sherry, I thought we might take a couple moments of silence.
We got
too many people.
Yeah, we got too much going on to be silent. We'll be silent after the call.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sherry and Janet Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be on and surprised. And Sherry, this class has triggered some incredible resistance. And so, I'm really excited about the game. I'm really excited about upping my game. And it has been just fascinating and dizzying to see how much of my karmic conditioning is coming up, trying to keep me from really focusing on the class and answering the class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to just I know that I've heard that resistance, you know, kind of tells you that you're getting really onto something. And the focus that I wanna look at is I have this this propensity. Oops, hang on one second. I have this propensity to get caught into this preparing, and I have a job that, you know, kind of keeps me in a lot of preparing mode and conditioned sensations that, you know, go along with you know, kind of just having to hunker down and, you know, get things done. And And I really want to focus my attention there. And just so while I was going through my day-to-day, just noticed how much of my conditioning, like, doesn't want me to look at it. And
oh, yes, of course.
That's what, so when I talk about resistance, it's resistance. It's not resistance to the excitement of the class and playing, but the resistance to really looking at what I'm choosing to looking at.
Yes. And so, and yet, you got there, right? What you want to look at is the process that keeps you trapped in a way of behaving toward your work and probably in other places in life that doesn't serve you.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, and I see so much of how it's really not the content; it's the process that, you know, it's work. It's, you know, getting ready to, you know, go somewhere. It's, you know,
serious.
Making sure I've got good food and And so it was great even hearing someone talk about early, you know, earlier on tying it into the Enneagram, you know, being the nine, you know, I'm always trying to, my conditioning likes to mask my sensations. And so, you know, this whole feeling of, you know, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm not ready, and, you know, the behaviors that go along with, you know, distracting from that. Or, and so, so I'm just happy I can speak it, because I've just noticed, like, so much of, there's just been a lot of, like, not, I would say, damp, I don't know what the word is, but conditioning is working hard for me to not be looking at it.
Oh yeah. Because it, I mean, you know how much suffering is in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course it wants you to stay in that place. Of course it doesn't want you to look at it. So that's, you know, we kid about that all the time, but we kid about it because it's really true. You know, of all of these, let's see, you know, as soon as the voices start screaming, no, not that, we know that that's the one to go for. And it's not smart. If it were smart, it would say, oh, no, about something completely irrelevant. But it's not worried about that irrelevant thing. The stakes are really high with, you know, keep her in that mode, because that's maximum suffering. And we get all the attention.
Yeah, when
she's in that mode. So, yeah, that's the one. And it's good. It's work. So it happens a lot. You'll see it in other places, of course. Anything that's important in your life, they're going to do it to you in the same way. And we have a whole year to explore it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're saying that, because I'm noticing conditioning. So, I thought, I'm going to call in and talk about this. And I was like, oh, no, you can't call in. You're way too far along in practice to be talking about these things. And, like, you cannot Sherry cannot know how resistant you are to this. Oh, good, I got a call. But,
exactly.
Yeah, and conditioning is telling me that I really need to have my plan, and I really need to get it nailed down, because, and so then what it does is it just, like, makes it really complex and really complicated. And I mean, they're all things I've been looking at over the years, and conditioning almost feels like I need to, you know, like, I've seen all this stuff, and now I really need to come up with that precise, exact plan. And
well, yes, and of course we're not going to come up with plans, right?
Right.
I mean, we might come up with some plans, but that's not the point of it. But one of the things that I've heard read a lot in the responses is how many people are saying, okay, I've been looking at this, I know it's been going on, I've suffered over this for whatever, I'm ready, I'm going to address this. And So I would expect a fair amount of resistance, because these are core suffering places that people are preparing to end. And that is extremely threatening to the ego, extremely. So, you can say, yeah, go ahead, resist as long as you want. Go ahead, talk to me about it. Tell me about resistance, because I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it all against you. So you go ahead. You scream.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's from another radio show or something I heard recently of, you know, and don't resist resistance, just keep moving forward. And I noticed that today I had resistance, you know, to something, and I just thought, no, you know, I'm just, okay, yep, it's there, and okay, what's now, you know, right
what now?
Okay,
what
there's
now?
My feet, what am I sitting up against? I liked how the last caller was talking about expanding that field of awareness to what's behind me, and so really just, I guess that reminder of, you know, it's just the process of waking up and,
and that what now? Uh-huh, good, okay, all going on. What now? Yeah, all right, and what now? Because that's where we want to live, right? Not in those stories about what's wrong and how it's not, what now?
Yeah, kind of just that bringing on. Yeah, so sensations, I'm definitely putting a real big spotlight on sensations.
Good.
Because a lot of there's not even story. It's just the sensations go right into behavior.
right. Forget the story. Sensations
forget
and behavior.
Story.
But we go to, and what now? And what do
what
I need
now?
To do now? Because what I get is what I do.
Yeah,
right?
Bring it on.
Yep.
Great, I'm so glad
All
I got
right.
on. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Okay,
good night.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks for jumping in, Tracy. All right, Sherry, going on to the next person.
Good.
Got the next player on the field. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey.
Are you suited up?
So... I'll try to be brief, but I told this to my awareness coach that I've been getting these little glimpses of really seeing the possibility that, deeper way, seeing, you know, the possibility of the voices having no power. And
isn't that gorgeous?
Sorry?
Isn't that gorgeous?
Gorgeous
possibility.
Yeah, like it's really, it's more real, like I can see it, like I can just, you know, it's there, you know, it's so amazing, you know, and it's, I can like these tastes of freedom, you know, I can just, you know, I've been, got a couple of these, and, you know, what I project onto your experience of life is, you know, that freedom of just, you know, never, you know, because guilt is something that I've kind of, you know, struggled with, or, you know, I'm habituated to. And so I like, that's a big one for me. And I can just see that possibility of living like without guilt.
Yes.
At all.
Yes. Well, may I, Zoe, you're not just seeing a possibility. You are having the experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. So
we're
having an experience, and then we're accustomed to having it framed as, this is something that is possible for me. Now, if you want to say, it's possible for me to live there all the time because I know how to live there now, then yes, that is accurate. But usually it's conditioning's way of minimizing the fact that you are having the experience right now. Every time you touch into that, you're there. And that's as real as it gets. It's not going to be any more real because it lasts for 15 seconds than 1 second.
Yeah. That's really, That's really important because it will, yeah.
And the other thing, of course, that it wants to do to us is, if then you fall for it, you know, the story starts and you feel guilty, it'll say, see, you're not over.
Right. Right.
Well, no, well, actually, it just happened in this moment. That's all that happened.
Right. Right. Actually, no, I did see that because, I assumed that, you know, like, okay, you know, I know I'm not necessarily, I know it's possible to live in that experience. I know that it's not necessarily going to be the case that I will, you know, live in that experience from now on, obviously,
right.
You know, but that trying to be okay with letting that experience be there and, you know, not thinking that there's something wrong if it's not there.
Well, First, we feel like there's something wrong if it is there, and then we feel like there's something wrong if it's not there, or vice versa. We can start in either place, right? So it kind of gets us coming and going, right?
Right.
But the thing about it is, once a person realizes what you've realized, then that experience is just a flag to go, oh, wait, I know how not to feel that way, and you just turn your attention to the alternative to that, which is being present in life. Yeah. Yeah. So once that's all we're ever trying to do is recognize that we already know the experience we're trying to have. Right?
Mm.
So, again, it's my thing with the tennis ball or, you know, it's making the basket or whatever it is. But before we do it for the first time, we're not really sure what it is that we're doing. But as soon as we do it for the first time and realize, oh, that's it. Okay, all right, got it. Now I know what I'm going for. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that dropping the guilt and just living in the clarity of the moment, oh, okay, I know that experience. Now you're practicing going to that. We don't even have to get rid of the guilt. Right? Whatever that is, that story, that sensation, it can be wherever it resides when you're not attending to it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Say that again.
Well, you don't need to worry about the fact that you have a habit of feeling guilty. You just continue to turn your attention to being present in the moment, which is the equivalent of not feeling guilty.
Right?
So the fact that you used to have that habit, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't now. I don't have to have any relationship with that at all because it no longer exists. So that's why, and of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir here when I say this to you, the power of directing the attention. Right? Because I know what the two experiences are, and I want to turn my attention to that one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
You
I'm
are
excited.
So welcome. Pardon me?
I said I'm excited for the year, so.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think we can all feel like, you know, this giant wave or something, this wheel turning. Maybe it's the wheel of karma turning away from suffering and toward freedom, but it's definitely picking up momentum. And there's a lot of sangha going in that direction. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, we're going to fit in as many more callers as we can here.
Excellent.
So let's see who's next. Next caller, you're now live on there, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. I can feel the excitement. I am with you.
Ah.
I feel so much excitement this year already. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spreading around the world. It woke up Jane all the way over there across the big waters.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had one of those kind of places, like someone talked about earlier, too, of kind of, you know, getting told why I couldn't call and so realizing that I then needed to call kind of thing. I've really loved this first class, and the process that I'm noticing around it is that, yeah, I guess it's just the way that the resistance is manifesting. So, you know, looking at this question that you want to work with for the year, just a lot of, well, a couple of potential things seem to arise or drop in, and then I'm just noticing how conditioning is trying to fill up the space, so it feels like then, you know, cloud the channel or whatever so that life can't get through. You know, so then it just got into, ooh, but is that the, you know, I mean, this is for your whole year. I mean, boy, you better, you know, like I just noticed the voices just getting all over that. And so it felt challenging to just allow that clarity of life to come through. So then I noticed the sort of, well, I'll do this later and, you know, all that. And I thought, oh, you know, this is where I want to call and not get talked into, you know, just not looking at this because I want to get, you know, be open to life giving me that clarity and send off a response and all of that. But that's what I've been watching so far with it.
And so it hasn't dropped in with clarity, or you feel like it did drop in with clarity and that's what kicked the voices off to, oh, no, that can't be it.
You know, I'm not even clear about that. I'm not sure. Like I said, it felt like maybe sort of two kind of things dropped in. I didn't feel like there was maybe just one. I felt actually like two kind of areas, and then conditioning was just off and running. Well, what about this? Well, I don't know. You know, all these voices of, you know, comparing and, yeah. Just
well, we know they're not it.
I know all of this, you know, garbage that's coming up is definitely not it, right.
Yeah. But they get a person, in this case you, into kind of a state of urgency, and then what they suggest as a way to handle that is go do something else.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just had an experience that I'll tell you about that I was working on a project, and it's the new recording and listening game. And the piece of it I was doing was attempting to write these different aspects of the game, and I'm not a writer, you know, I don't have that as an identity at all. Mm-hmm. I have an identity as somebody who sits down and then something appears and I write it out, which is very different from being a writer, right?
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there and quite willing. And nothing was coming through. And
yeah.
Something, you know, would occur to me, and then it wouldn't go anywhere. And after a while, and I'm getting more and more frustrated, right? Because this is not working. What's the deal? And there's that impulse to quit, to what, you know, I would talk about it as change the energy, go do something else, come back to it later when I'm fresh. But the intuition was, don't do that.
Mm.
Don't do that. And so the next intuition was, just write down everything that comes to you as it comes to you. And so I started doing that, and there would be a word. There would be a phrase. There would be, after, you know, pretty soon there was a complete sentence. There was and the whole thing came in exactly that way. And at a certain point, I was able to see how it went together. And that frustration was part of the process.
Mm.
And afterwards, I actually recorded about it because about how glad I was that I didn't interpret that frustration as a signal that I needed to go do something else and come back to this later at a better time.
Mm.
But instead, to use that blockage as a way to allow intuition to communicate with me in a different way than the way I'm used to.
Mm.
So my encouragement in all of that is, instead of the, well, it's not working now, I'm sick of these voices, to just watch the voices and stay right there, kind of looking through the voices to the little pinpricks that life is going to use to get the insight through to you.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I just had something with a blog post that was, it was kind of, it seemed like a person was talking about kind of maybe a similar place of, you know, being told that they didn't know what to write for that, and then in the just sitting down to write the blog post, that's when the blog post would come. And so I have, I've had a little sense of that, of like, okay, just sit down to sort of, you know, with the idea of sending in the response and see what happens there.
Yeah, or you can just sit down in your favorite chair.
Yeah,
Get a cup of tea, sit down there, and, you know, state your purpose. I'm sitting here for life to inform me, for it to drop in, what it is that I want to focus on for this year.
Okay.
And then you just watch. And sooner or later, it will be there for you.
Okay.
That's the thing we can count on. And the thing that I got very clearly with that project I just told you about is, once again, knowing it will happen in life's time, not my time.
Mm.
And my job is to be patient.
Mm. Okay. Yep. So I might sit there as long as it's available, and if it doesn't seem that it happened, then I create another time to sit back down.
That's exactly right. And I will sit here until it comes through. And when it comes through, I'll watch for it, because it'll feel different. I'll feel it.
Yeah.
And then there will be a storm of voices in protest, and that's how I'll know it's the right one.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
All right, thanks,
all right.
Jen.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Jen. All right. And we've got another caller.
Good.
Next caller.
Hi, this is Susan.
Oh. Hey, Susan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. I'm glad I got on. Yeah, I'm the person last year from Learning to Love Learning that was working on trusting myself. So I kind of...
I know. And you know what? Here's what I know about you. You are often my last person. Now, I don't know what time it is, so I don't have any idea if that's going to be the case tonight, but I just know how many times that, you know, Michael would say, well, I think we have time for one more, and it'd be you. Are you aware of that?
No.
Oh,
I wasn't,
yeah.
But actually when I think about it, it's true. But now he can just say, I think it's time for Susan.
That's right. Are we getting close to the end of the show? Well, unmute Susan.
I mean, and I'm like the last batter up to bat when the bases are full.
Exactly, the cleanup hitter. Good, that'd be you. All right,
well,
let me summarize all this.
So my goal, my intention for this next year, I moved from or through Learning to Trust Myself. That what's up for me now is learning how to allow more ease in my life and in my, and which is really kind of what dropped in when trusting myself dropped out, you know, I was just done with it. And so what I'm looking at is like, because you gave me some things to do around learning to trust myself, my inclination is always that this is a doing. There's something I need to do to have ease, like don't do as much work, don't have as many friends and activities. And I have a sense that's not it. It's how I relate to everything. Mm-hmm. So that's my focus for this next year, and sort of upping the game and just trying to get myself off the start block and some practice or something in place to learn about that.
Right, that you're really going to get to the bottom. Ease is going to be the vehicle, but what you're going to get to the bottom of is it's not what, it's how.
Yes.
Yeah, because conditioning wants you to focus on, oh, well, don't work as much and don't have as many friends and don't have as many active, don't, no. If we remember that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is resistance to life, it is the no to life, which is a yes, then it makes perfect sense. One of the things that I've always been really adamant about is that if and when we ask people for donations, I don't want to go down the road of, it's one Starbucks coffee a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not interested in deprivation. I don't want anybody to be deprived.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
What we want,
yes, exactly.
What we want, yeah, we want more. We want,
yeah.
We actually want more. So as you're pointing at, how can I be more relaxed? How can I be more at ease and be more a participant in life the way life wants me to participate.
Exactly, exactly. Because, you know, when I was thinking about it, I could feel the sadness start to well up, and it was like this preparing for deprivation. All right, nothing, don't do this in the evening, don't work so hard. You know, it was like I was going to have to give up things. Versus, and I thought, wait a minute, this shouldn't be making me sad.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah, I'm
you can either have an ease in your yeah, or I can be really depressed. Choose.
Yeah.
So,
So
I'm just looking at it like last year I didn't know what I was gonna learn. I'm in exactly the same boat this year, like, but that's my focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Allowing ease. Yeah.
Yeah. And no matter what the content.
Precisely. Because content is completely irrelevant. You know, I could be with a friend and it from center. I could be with somebody that conditioning would call an enemy. And from center, I can have a fabulous time and be relaxed and happy and fulfilled and energized. Or I could be with a friend and I'm stressed and anxious and identified with conditioning. And I'm completely miserable. And then conditioning is going to say, I'm not sure about that friend. Or I'm not sure you should spend your time that way because it's really not making you happy. And always, always, always what's making us unhappy is the very thing that's talking to us about what something else is doing to make us unhappy.
Yeah, and it's that standards thing again, what you said in the very beginning of the show, that there's certain, and nobody's going to be happy as long as there's standards.
Right.
So
exactly.
So far all I've managed to do is sort of have what drops in for me in situations where I'm feeling tense is just the question, is there ease anywhere available here? And that's all I probably started paying attention, but I wondered if you had any thoughts about what else
I
might do.
That's really good. That's really good because since everything is and all possibility exists in each moment, you know ease is there. Where is it? It's like asking for joy, right? I know there's joy in this moment. There has to be.
Uh-huh.
There's joy in every moment. I'm not experiencing it. So where is it? And just asking the question, where is the ease? You can kind of feel yourself relax, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just the fact that it counting on it dropping in, because if I have to think about it, it's not going to happen. It's just I think because I put it on my radar screen now, I'll notice.
Yes,
that I can.
And I'll tell you, I'm obsessed with recording and listening for the simple reason that I'm convinced it will transform people's lives. So with all of these things, whatever it is that we're doing, I hope people are using recording and listening as their way of doing it. So for myself, when I have a project, I just realize that there's something physical going on with me that I really want to bring my attention to. And because I want to change my relationship with it. It's something I'm doing out of habit, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I record about that so that I listen to it every day. I put up signs so that I see it. And my attention is constantly being drawn away from the habit and to this new relationship, right?
Got it. So I was thinking about recording, listening, and I think that I don't know how to do it, but what I've just been doing is saying, here's what I'm noticing about ease, just like note to self.
Yes.
For, you know, not really even a conversation, just sort of end of the day summary of here's what I noticed today about myself and my relationship to ease, and that's kind of been it.
Yes, and another one that I really like is a recording that says, I choose ease. And then there's a little gap, and inside your mind you say to yourself, I choose ease. And then the voice, the soothing voice says again, I choose ease. And what happens to us over time is that the mind picks that up. It will, after enough time, it will start saying that to you unsolicited. And you know that the change is happening inside. You're moving away from the old habitual conversation that takes you to a lack of ease, and you're moving to this new orientation to life of
ease.
Oh, I can do that. That sounds good. Good. Okay, that's helpful.
Easier than those voices want us to know.
That's just almost too easy.
Yes, it is. And, you know, for a good time, which we all like to have, let's face it, I mean, you could do that, you know, if you commute to work or if you, you know, you're walking in the woods or whatever it is. I mean, you could do that for 20 minutes or half an hour. And then you could listen to it in the same way. And I'm telling you, it will take your nervous system to a whole new level of peace, comfort, relaxation, and ease.
Yeah, and it's my voice telling me
that. It's your lovely, soothing, comforting voice telling you it's okay.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you, Sherry. I like having something to do. It's so wonderful I get to do something.
Yes, yes. And anybody listening can do the same thing, right? And if it's a different, you know, if somebody wants joy or peace speaks to them or whatever it is, we just need to let ourselves know it's okay to have what we want.
I'll write that down. Okay, great. Thank you. I will keep you posted. And
good.
And
good.
I'll
I appreciate
see you at the
that.
End of the next show again.
All right. Good. Good. We got a date. All right.
Okay.
Good
bye.
Night.
Good night. Bye. Thanks for joining us. You called it, Sherry. She was the last caller.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah. I hadn't put that together, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we have our tradition. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a phenomenal kickoff. Thank you. Wow.
Oh, it was fun, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, really fun.
Good players.
Good players. I'm pretty sure we got the ball in that one, so we're off and running. And, everyone who didn't get on next week, call again next week, and we'll keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
And we're also go ahead.
There's no way for you to tell, is there? So it's just kind of the honor system. If people got on this week, hopefully they'll let somebody else.
I'm hopeful that we actually may be. That's one of the benefits of this. I mean, first of all, I will tell you, I'm pretty sure we broke records tonight with the number of people who are listening in, and that's just on the phone. That doesn't even count everyone who's online.
Uh-huh. Good.
A ton of people called in. So actually, I am hopeful that we're going to be able to hopefully, you know, cycle through so that everyone gets a chance throughout the whole class. So,
yeah. Probably not, but we'll do our best.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of folks.
Awesome.
I just finished 11 batches of responses, so I'm pretty sure everybody isn't going to get on the radio show, but we will do our best.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And so once somebody has a chance to talk, then they know they're going to give somebody else a chance.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good.
So thank you so much, Jen. Oh,
your
most welcome. Pleasure, and we'll talk again next Thursday.
All right. Sounds
good.
Good night.
Thanks.